Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all the armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual force of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of the devil evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm, and with the belt of truth, buckle around your waist and the breastplate of the righteousness in place, and your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with you, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray for the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, word may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am the ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should.
That's excellent. Thank you. What, Mariah? So it's those last few verses in that passage that we'll look at this morning. Anybody too hot just before we start?
Yeah, okay.
Just wondering if it's worth opening those doors at the back, whether it's going to make it too cold. Phil, can you just open those doors? They just sort of let a draft come through the place. There are some cups over there. If you get dry or if you don't want to come to the front, just wander through to the kitchen, help yourself through some water over there. Right, so we're going to come to these verses at the end. We're thinking about prayer and the importance of prayer. The key bit, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. With all kinds of prayers and requests, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So he gets to the end, and it's this whole thing, it's prayer. So he's talked about the armor, the belt and the shield and the helmet and the sword and the breastplate and the shoes, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. So the first thing we should notice here, here's our soldier that we've had through several of these things. Here's the key verse: on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests, always keep on praying for all the saints. So the first thing for us to pull out from this is the priority of prayer. We've got a bunch of sweet peas this morning. It's springtime, so we're going to have some peas. Each of the headings will be a pea, so a bunch of sweet peas. The first one is the priority of prayer. Pray on all occasions and always keep on praying for all the saints. He said, sounds to me like Paul is quite keen that these people would pray. The armour is essential. We've gone through that. I hope that you can remember what we've thought about for the last few weeks. If you want to review, it's all on the website. You can listen to it, you can download it, you can get the PowerPoints as well. It's all there if you want to review. The armour is essential, but by itself, the armour isn't enough. Prayer has got to be part and parcel of our daily lives. The song that we just sang, put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. That's not the Bible. That was, I think, Charles Wesley that wrote that many years ago. But he's got a point. We can try our hardest. We can know the theology and we can get to know the Bible. We can know about Jesus, we could do the right things, but we've got to be walking in a relationship with Jesus if we're going to be strong, if those things are going to be effective. Our prayer, praying to Jesus, praying to the Father, needs to be woven into the fabric of our lives. And a couple of reasons why, quite simply because we've said over and over again, we're in a battle. And in this battle, we're facing an enemy that is powerful, the enemy of ourselves, the enemy of our own sinful nature, that old nature that's still there, you know, the battle that you have within. Galatians, Paul in Galatians speaks about the sinful nature and the new nature, the battle within us. We all know that, don't we? And how hard it is to keep doing the right thing and to let the new nature overcome and defeat the old nature. So there's the old nature, there's the influence of our world and culture, and how hard it is to stand against that. Not just the world, but our sometimes our non-Christian families and friends. When our values conflict with theirs, it's hard sometimes to make the right choice. So we don't want to offend, we don't want to hurt. And it's easier to go along with them. So there's these battles from the forces outside. And of course then, there is, as the lad down here reminded us, there's the devil, there's Satan, and all his little minions. And he's second in power to Satan, to God, and he's more powerful than ourselves, and we cannot stand against him. We can't rely on our beliefs and our knowledge. We need God's extra power. We need his wisdom. We need his help. And that comes in relationship with him. And that relationship is fostered and developed as we pray, as we talk to him. You know, in a human relationship, a human relationship will get very weak if you don't talk. Talk in a relationship, you need to have communication. And that's what prayer is. So the first one, because we're not strong enough in ourselves. And as I just said, in any battle, communication is vital. If one of the first things that will happen in a war situation is the opponents of each other will try to affect the communication lines. What's happened recently in the whole cyber thing, you know, I know it wasn't a terrorist or a malicious thing yesterday with British Airways. You know, it was communication. And a few weeks ago, there was a malicious attack around the world, and it was about communication. And in a war situation, try and break the communication chains down. You break the supply routes, you break the roads, you destroy the rail lines, you try and take down the radio masts. And so communication, and one of the things, if Satan can encourage us and support us and encourage us in one way or another, in any way he can, to stop talking to God, to break that level of communication with him, then he will do. And we will become isolated, left on our own resources. So he will try and encourage us to stop praying, but we need to talk to him. Quietness. Let him speak to us as we talk to him. William Cowper wrote these words several years ago. Forsaking prayer, we cease to fight. I wonder if that resonates with you in your own experience, when you've times in your life when you've stopped praying. I wonder if you can identify in those situations that actually those times were also the times when your spiritual vitality and stamina also declined. Forsaking prayer, we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian armor bright, and Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Why would Satan not want us to pray? Why would he tremble, so to speak? Because he knows that when we're on our knees, when we're praying, it shows a real, genuine dependence upon God. And that will strengthen us, so he's not going to be able to get to us as much, and therefore he will try and stop us from praying. It's for these reasons why we see that prayer was a top priority for followers in the Bible, followers of Jesus. It says in Acts chapter 1 verse 14, this is at the beginning of the church. What did they do? One of the key things, they joined together constantly in prayer. And later on, when the church was growing, the leaders said, look, we can carry on doing all the social stuff and all the practical helping, but actually, number one priority is that we, if we're going to be strong and if we're going to keep the church going, then we've got to give our attention to prayer ministry. That's a huge challenge for me. That's something I need to keep in my mind the whole time. And if you're involved in any ministry, it's not enough just to do the ministry. You need to be praying. You've got to keep the spiritual side right as well. And then later on, when the church was growing, and when the Lord revealed to the Christians that it wasn't just about the Jews, that God actually loved the Gentiles and he wanted the non-Jews to become followers of Jesus as well, that was a huge shift for the believers in those days. When did it happen? It happened when they were praying. In Acts chapter 10, it says, at about 3 in the afternoon, Cornelius was praying. That was the hour of prayer. And God spoke to Cornelius. And then later, we find that Paul was praying. And he was praying at the hour of prayer. And as he was praying, he had a vision. And the vision was revealing that God was going to save the Gentiles. It was as he was praying that God spoke to him, that he loved the Gentiles as well as the Jews. And we see it most of all in the life of Jesus. Now we could talk about Paul, we could talk about the church, but you just got to go and look at Jesus. And if he had to pray, Jesus was God, and if Jesus had to pray, then how much more do we have to pray? Jesus was God in the flesh, and he needed to talk to his Father because he was God, man. There was a man part of him. He was God incarnate. He was one of us. So therefore, he was subject to temptations and weakness. Okay, he didn't fail, but the only way he managed to succeed was by praying, by talking to his Father. He would often get away from the crowds, up into the mountains, just by himself, to spend whole nights in prayer. A guy called Ian Bounds wrote a classic book on prayer many years ago, in which he said this: praying men, praying people, are the only people in which the Holy Spirit dwells, for the Holy Spirit and prayer go hand in hand. The Holy Spirit never descends upon prayerless people. He never fills them. He never empowers them. There is nothing whatever in common between the Spirit of God and people who do not pray. The Spirit dwells only in a prayer atmosphere. We want the effect. If we want the Holy Spirit to help us, to empower us, then we need to be praying people. The two things go hand in hand. And time and again, believers, followers of Jesus, succumb to temptation when they not just stop reading the Bible, but when we stop praying. Sometimes we feel like saying, where is God? Why don't we see more of his work? Why doesn't he do something? Like somebody in the Bible said, where is the God of Elijah? And he gives us the answer. And he'd say, I'm here, but where are the Elijahs? You know, if we want to know the old-time power, then we need the old-time disciplines. Elijah was a man of prayer, a man who believed God, a man who lived with God. And so often we can say, where is God? Where is the God of the old days? Why don't we see? Are we the people of the old days? Are we the people of prayer like those people did? Where are the people that humble themselves and seek the face of the Lord? Are we willing, therefore, to make that time, to make the effort individually, in our church life? It's good to ask ourselves, where is prayer in our priorities at the moment? Where is prayer in your life at the moment? That's not an accusation. It's just good to pause to think, is talking to Jesus, talking to the Father, praying to him, how much time, how much of a priority does that get? If you want to be victorious, if you want to have a life of knowing the fullness that God gives to you, I'm not talking about material blessings. If you want to know his joy, if you want to know his peace, then part of that will come with the relationship with him of prayer. So there's the priority of prayer. The second one is the power of prayer. He says to pray in the Spirit. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Well, it simply means not simply just to say our prayers. You know, we can very easily pray, can't we? We trot out our phrases. You know, I say my prayers every night. What are your prayers every night? Are they the same old things? I love that old song that I learnt when I was in Sunday school. I often say my prayers, but do I ever pray? Do the wishes of my heart go with the words I say? I may as well kneel down and worship gods of stone as offer to the living God a prayer of words alone. For words without the heart the Lord will never hear, nor will he to those lips attend whose prayers are not sincere. I've hundreds of people over the course of time say to me, well, I prayed, but God didn't answer me. How did you pray? I feel like sort of stopping them. Usually it's not the situation to do it. They would just take it as a huge insult, but maybe I need to insult them a bit. But people say, you know, I'm praying to God. They pray to God as if he's a slot machine. I don't really believe in him. There's no respect for him. It's as if he somehow is beholden to them who don't care, people who don't care about him. But I do think sometimes we as Christians can almost slide into that kind of mentality. We expect God to answer our prayers, and we're really not giving him much of a time of day. He's not much of a priority in our lives. We're not walking humbly with him. Oh, it's a big challenge on this one. The power of prayer is not simply saying our prayers, it's being living dependent on him to lead us and inspire us in our lives and as we pray. It's not just praying, it's sitting with God and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us, to prompt us at the things that we pray for. It is, therefore, the result of a life that's lived humbly, walking with God on a daily basis. So it's not just rocking up to God, you know, to pray, having had no thought. You know, the rest of your life can be a sham and you're looking at things and watching things and saying things and living in a way that's totally dishonouring to God, and then suddenly you're going to rock up and think that he's going to answer your prayers. Praying in the Spirit is where you're living, walking on a daily basis, thinking in your daily lives, in the office, the stuff that you're writing on the internet, the stuff that you're watching, the little clips that come up on Facebook. You get some rubbish. I'm so fascinated. But you get some rubbish, and the internet generally, you know, stuff that comes through on your smartphone. What are you watching? What papers are you watching? What do you watch on the television? What films are you watching? What books are you reading? What's your conversation? What people are you with? How do you fill your mind? You can't fill your mind with trash and then just expect that you're going to come and pray. Real prayer, led by the Spirit, is a result of a life that's lived honoring God, so that we think, you know, we make it's a deliberate effort to walk in a way that honors God, because we're his children. This isn't about, you know, just doing. This isn't about keeping the law. This is about relationship. We're God's children, aren't we? We've been adopted into his family. It's natural and it's right and natural that therefore we should honor him. You know, the family honor is at stake in this. So pray. When we do that, there is power in our prayers and effectiveness because of the life that we're living with him. So if your prayer life is, you're sitting here this morning and you think your prayer life is dull and it's boring and it's lifeless, or you identify times in your life when it gets like that, then just look at your life in general. Are you being filled with the Spirit on a daily basis? Are you walking with him? Are you controlled by him? Not just in church, but Monday morning and Friday afternoon and all the stuff in between. And if you recognize you're not, then the answer today is just to go back and say, Lord, I need to consecrate myself to you again. I need to give myself to you again. I'm going to go out from here and I'm going to try and live in a way that is pleasing and honoring to you. So there's the priority of prayer, the power of prayer, and then there's the perseverance in prayer. He says, you keep on praying. Always keep on praying. The spiritual battle in which we're involved. We're going to fight every day. There's simply no substitute for perseverance. You can't say, well, I've made it. I've been a Christian. What am I, 50? 55, I became a Christian. No, I'm not 55, I'm 54. And I became a Christian when I was 14, so what's that, 40 years? Oh, boy. 40 years I've been a Christian. It gets better with every year. And I can honestly say that I appreciate God more and I value God more. But I tell you this, in some ways it gets harder because I realise sin that's in me and stuff that should have been dealt with. And I'm embarrassed to talk about it, to be honest. So it doesn't get easier as you get the longer you become a Christian. As some of you are older than me, and you'd say, yeah, I know what you're saying here on this one. We've got to keep going. It's a matter of perseverance, hanging in sometimes, keeping going in prayer. And the Bible's full of accounts of people who held on to God and persevered in prayer. I'll give you two or three. Oh, Jacob, and you read about him in Genesis. There was a time when he'd been driven out from his home and he wanted to restore things and get things back into how they should be. He wanted to walk on with God. And the angel of God appeared with him. And he kind of had a wrestling match with him. And he said to God, he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. He said, let me go. I will not let you go unless you bless me. Unless you touch me and help me and strengthen me. Unless I have word from you, I'll not let you go. And he kept on, and eventually, because of his persistence, got the answer. Job, different story altogether. You know Job in the Bible? Most of you will do. Job was a guy who had pretty much everything. He's probably the Bill Gates of his day. Everything was right. Successful business, lovely family, good home, lovely wife. He lost it all in a matter of hours. Everything. He ended up living on the village rubbish dump. Had some friends that came to see him and they didn't help. You know those kind of friends you think with enemies like this, with friends like this, who needs enemies? Just said the wrong thing they didn't understand. They thought they were trying to be helpful. They were trying to be clever. They just made it worse for him. And Job was and the reason he was going through this was because he was a believer in God. That's the irony. There's a big story, we haven't time to explain that, but it was because he was because he was following God and believing in God. And this is what he said. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's perseverance. That's keeping going. That's what we need to have in our life. When the going gets tough, we need to say, he can kill me, but I'm going to trust him because, well, in the words of Peter in the New Testament, Lord, to whom else can we go? And Jesus said, are you going to go as well? Are you going to leave me? Everybody else seems to be. And he said, Lord, to who else can we go? Will you leave him? Who else can you go to? We need to hang in there, even when the going gets tough. Bartimaeus, interesting character, was blind, heard that Jesus was coming, and shouted out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. You know, he was asking Jesus to heal him. And the people around him say, Bartimaeus, be quiet. He's not the one to know you. Keep shouting. Shut up. Disturbing him. Got important things to do. He's not going to be interested in a blind beggar like you. And he keeps on shouting, and Jesus went over to him. He kept on. He was persistent. And he was healed, by the way, as well. And Jesus teaches us to ASK. ASK? Ask, seek, and knock. That was what Jesus said. Ask, seek, and knock. He who asks receives. He who seeks will find. He who knocks, the door will be open. Seeking is about keeping on. He didn't say you'll get it straight away. He didn't say you just, you know, and it will be there immediately. He said, but you'll get it. You'll get what you need when you ask, when you keep going. And he told a story around that about a lady who had a particular situation. She had to keep on badgering an unjust, an unfair authority. And eventually, because she kept going, kept persisting, he said, "For goodness sake, shut up, or I'll give you what you want then. Get you out of my hair." And Jesus said, "Look, if the unfair authorities do that, then how much more will your loving Father in heaven?" Because he's not a grudging God. He's not someone who you have to wring it out of. But he does say, I want to prove. Sometimes he says, "I want to prove you. Do you really mean this? Is it a point of integrity, or are you just wanting your own way?" So perseverance here. Keep on praying in the Spirit on all occasions. So we get to the end of this section on the spiritual armour. It's emphasis on the battle that we're called to. This is the single most important thing probably that we can do, is prayer. Praying for ourselves, praying for each other, praying for the worldwide church, praying for our world, praying for the advance and the spread and the success of the gospel of Jesus, the good news about Jesus. We've got the knowledge, many of us, we've got knowledge. We can have our theology. I know some of you say, "Well, I don't know much because I'm just starting out." That's fine. We can have, you know, we can build up our Bible knowledge. We can have our plans. We can have our programs. We can do our activities as a church. But we can still lack the power of God to make that effective in changing lives. And that's why, as well as everything else, we have to pray. God's instruction, his encouragement to us, is for us individually, for us as a group, to be a praying people, to humble ourselves before the Lord, to express our utter dependence on him. One last verse before we wrap up this morning. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and I will restore their land." So my final encouragement, my appeal to us in the name of the Lord, is that we become and increase and persevere in being a praying people. Encourage us to be like the early church, who gave themselves to pray, to follow the pattern of that church, to join together to pray, to make sure that we pray individually. You know before the Lord how much time and how much effort and what your prayer life is like. And if the Spirit is kind of nudging you and prodding you, then whatever you do, listen, because the Lord wants to bless you. He wants to give you the blessings of sonship and daughtership in his family. He wants to give you his peace. He wants to give you his support. He wants to give you the encouragement of knowing that he's with you in whatever situation it is. He wants to give you that. Will you humble yourself and go back to him and walk with him and pray with him? What about for us as a prayer, as a church? Have you ever thought about joining with us on a Tuesday evening? I know that Tuesday evening doesn't work for some of you, but for some of you, you probably could, but you've never thought about it. I want to encourage you this morning, Tuesday evenings at 7:30, apart from when it's life group, so it's not this week. This is where it doesn't work, does it? You know, they say, "Come to prayer meeting," but not this week. When we meet for prayer on a Tuesday, could you come and join us? So what happens in a prayer meeting? We pray. We take a little devotion. We have 5-10 minutes just looking at the word, just something to get us thinking spiritually. And then we pray. And we just talk to God. Some people pray out loud. Some people just sit and pray. You don't have to pray out loud. It's not a point of embarrassment. You don't have to do anything apart from come and say, "I'm with you. You know, there's a prayer meeting here, and I believe that prayer is important, and I'm here." So I encourage you, if family commitments allow it, if you can rearrange things, come down so that together we can sit and we can look to the face of our Father and say, "Lord, we need you." It's not about law. It's not about, you know, whether you're a good Christian or a bad Christian. It's about what our priorities are. It's about how important we feel the work of God is. It's about, do we value, do we desire, above other things, the glory of God as a church, as a fellowship? Do we desire, do we long that more and more people would become Christians? Or do you just kind of think, "Well, it will happen if it happens"? You know, I like going to church and I get my fill. Church is more than that, isn't it? It's not about law. It's not that we have to do it. It's about how much do we love God? How much do we value his cause? How much do we want his name to become famous in this area? How much of a priority is it for the lost to get saved? Those who today are on the road to a Christless eternity of misery, suffering, away from God for all eternity. Does that bother us? Does it bother you at all? I'm not saying this. I'm sorry if that's coming across as a critical, negative way. I'm just kind of, my heart is how much of a, does it affect us that there are thousands of people around us who, if Jesus came back today, he would say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." There's a lot we can't do, but one thing we can do is to pray for them. You don't have to come to prayer meeting, but I think it says a lot about our intention as a church if we can get together when the times of prayer are happening. I'm not going to be standing at the door with a book to see who's come. I encourage you, if you can make prayer, do come. Let us lay ourselves before the Lord. And if you can't come out to prayer meetings, then take your time at home. Pray for each other. Pray for the church. Pray for yourself. Pray for those around. Pray for the lost. What did Paul say? And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Lord, would you give us such a heart for your church that we would always keep on praying for all the saints? Would you give us a heart for the lost that would cause us to keep on praying for the lost around us? That you would reach out in love and mercy and grace to save them, rescue them before it's too late. In Jesus' name, amen.